You're listening to the podcast of Living Grace Church in Hinckley, Minnesota. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 10 o'clock as we look to the scriptures, seeking to grow in the gospel of grace alone.
I don't think I'm preaching this morning.
What's that?
I don't think I'm preaching this morning. Because one thing that I was expecting, I was expecting when I come here to see every faces smiling, happy, laughing. But that's not what I see. Because today is supposed to be a day of joys, a day of celebration. Because our King is risen. This morning is not the time to see the sadness, the fear, because the time of fear is already gone. Yesterday was a time of fear. But this morning is not a time of fear. And in case you don't know why you should rejoice this morning, if you don't find out why you should be happy this morning, and I have a few verses that I want to share with you. And to be clear, I don't know what you celebrate this morning. If you celebrate Easter Sunday morning, or if you celebrate the resurrection of a risen Christ. Because the resurrection of Jesus is not something that we celebrate once a year. But it's something that we celebrate every day, every minute, and every moment in our life. And there's a reason we should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is mean a lot for a Christian, for a believer. So I don't know if you really understand what it's really mean to celebrate the victory of the resurrection. Peter, the apostle of Peter, after the death of Jesus Christ, Peter was without hope. He was found in a way that he did not know how he would live his life. Because Jesus is died. But Peter, when Peter found out that Jesus is raised on that early Sunday morning, and this is what Peter said later on. Blessed be the Father and our Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is us this morning. This is our hope this morning. We were without hope, but this morning, because of his mercy and his grace, we are born again to a living hope. And I would like to look at a few verses with you. And this is not our text yet. The first verse I would like to look at with you is Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 6 to 8. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are not bound to sin. Romans 6, verse 6 to 8. I don't know who has it. All right.
We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him.
Romans 6, 9 to 11.
That's me. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
And the second reason that we should celebrate this morning is Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope.
Yes.
1 Peter 1, verse 1 to 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
And the good news is, it's not only hope to this life, but we have hope beyond the grave.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 15.
But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring those who have fallen asleep. God will bring with those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep.
And the next verse we have is Isaiah 53, verse 5. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't have to crush for our sin, and we don't have to pay for our transgression. Isaiah 53, verse 5.
But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed.
And Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the last verse, the last thing we have is, because of his death and resurrection, you don't have to fear of death, because he has power over death, which means Christ has dominions over death. And then we don't have to be fear, because our God is neither stopped nor slow by the presence of death. So don't think when you see death, that means God is no longer on the throne. Don't think when you see death that God is no longer in control. God works through and on the other side of death. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 to 26.
Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Isaiah 25, verse 8, Isaiah 25, verse 9. Gamali. Isaiah 25:8-9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, okay, verse 8-9. Yeah, that's what a good one.
So what was it, 6-8?
Isaiah 25, verse 8-9.
Okay. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Amen. And this is the risen Christ. This is the one that we celebrate this morning. This is why the resurrection is so important to us. So this morning, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, And the greatest decision you can make this morning is, where do you stand?
Yeah.
Do you stand on the resurrection, whether you believe it or you reject it? But you gotta make that decision. Where do you stand? This is one of the decisions that pushed the Apostle Paul to write a letter to the Corinth, to the church in Corinth, and First Corinthians chapter 15. So, Corinth was one of the places that Paul spent a lot of time preaching the gospel, preaching the good news of the kingdom. The city of Corinth, upon hearing the good news about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, began to grow exponentially. But despite of all of its growth and possibility, they start to split on many issues. Such as the church in Corinth, not only growth and number, but also there were growth and spiritual gift as well. But despite all of those opportunity, the church in Corinth began to disturb with great problems. So you will find the church in Corinth, they were split on issues like sexual immorality within the church. They were split on who was their favorite teacher. Some like Paul, and some prefer Apollos. They even took the other people to court. They have doctrinal debate about the Lord's Supper. But one of the biggest issues that pushed Paul to write this letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 19, is when Paul found out that they were arguing about the reality of the resurrection of the dead. And this is what Paul write to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 19. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of dead? But if there is no resurrection of dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope and this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So, like, in Corinth, they did not all agree on the resurrection of the dead, because many of them were influenced by Grecian philosophical thought, especially Plutarch. Plutarch and Grecian philosophy agreed that the greatest existence of the eternal soul when it was liberated by death from the incarceration of the flesh. And so Plutarch philosophy and Christian philosophy rejected the resurrection of the dead under the ground. The resurrection would be a reincarceration of the soul and the flesh of a human body. So when Paul found out, when Paul get word, those Christians arguing about this kind of issue, and he write to them, and he wants to be clear with them. And Paul say, if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is still dead, then you and I, we have a problem. I don't know if you get it. He said, if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is still dead, then we have a problem. I don't know if you see the angle Paul formed, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most critical things in the life of a believer.
Yeah.
And the second thing Paul, the second point he made in this passage is that if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Because Christianity based upon the gospel. And this is what Paul preached to them, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And most of them believe in the gospel that they preach to them. And then if they preach the gospel to them and they don't believe of the and the dead, then why do you believe the gospel we preach to you? Because the gospel, Jesus is the foundation of the gospel. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. Paul simply makes it clear for them in verse 20. If you look at in the bottom of verse 20, Paul says, I don't want to argue with you guys. I want to make it clear for you. In fact, Christ is risen. And if there is a word that you want to say this morning, is that Christ is risen. And if there is anything that can put a joy in your heart this morning, if there is anything that can put a peace in your mind, it's when you risen, when you wake up this morning and you receive the good news that Christ is no longer in the tomb. Christ is risen. Christ is risen from the dead. And if you don't know why you should rejoice, if you don't know why you should bind your life this morning, the first thing that I want to remind you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that your faith is not in vain. Paul wants to make it clear for you this morning, your faith in God is not futile. Your faith is not useless. But if Jesus is still dead, your faith in God is nothing less, is nothing more than a wishful thinking. If Christ is still dead, then why do you have to pray? If Christ is still dead, why do you have to come this morning and just come sit and waste your time? If Christ is still dead, why do we have to meet on Wednesday morning, on Wednesday night? But because Christ is risen, our faith is not in vain. Because Christ is risen, we can spread the gospel in every corner of the earth. Because it's the foundation. Because Christ is the foundation of the gospel. And in fact, he is risen. I don't know how you would feel for every time when you pray for your brother and your prayer doesn't mean anything. I don't know how you would feel for your faith was useless. Because there comes a moment in this time when faith is the only thing that you have to hold your life together. There is some moment in this life when you rely only on your faith, because when everything goes dark, the only thing that you see is the dark side of your life. But faith is the only thing that you have. You believe that God can make a way out of no way. Faith is the only thing that keeps you the same. Faith is the only thing when you go to bed at night that you have. Faith is the only thing that keeps you in the morning. And faith, you have faith that the Lord will change the heart of your brother. You have faith that the Lord will heal your sickness. You have faith that the Lord will do something. But if Christ is still dead, where is this faith? Paul wants you to know that this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ puts some substance behind your faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ give your faith some legs to stand on. The resurrection of Jesus Christ give evidence to why you believe what you believe. I don't know if there's anybody here when faith is all that you have. I don't know if there's anybody here that has been in a place when faith is all that you have. If Christ is still dead, you don't even have to come here. So this morning I want to tell you, every time you think about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that should remind you about three words. And these three words, you can think about them. When you go to bed, you can think about them. When you walk, everywhere that you are. When you think about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what should pop on in your mind? That God is able. Yeah. Because if God has the power to raise Jesus from the dead, what God cannot do for you? If God has the power to raise Jesus from the dead, surely God is able to work everything for your good. How can you say you serve a risen Christ and you're still weak and wimpy? When Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, God give the power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increased their strength. How can you serve a risen Christ and you still care, you still scared about what the doctor is going to say? When Joshua 1 verse 9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you whenever you go. How can you serve a risen Christ and you still cannot sleep and then during the night? When the doctor say you or your loved one have only 3 months to live. When Revelation 1 verse 18 say he has the key of death and Hades. How can you serve a risen Christ and you still in your fear? When God says in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Will uphold you with my right hand. How can you serve a risen Christ and you still trying? You're still trying to carry that heavy load on your back. When Jesus said in Matthew verse 11, 28, come to me to all who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. How can you serve a risen Christ and you're still thinking about your past? When 2 Corinthians verse 5, 17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. How can you serve a risen Christ and you still weary about your future? When Philippians 4, verse 6, 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but add everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. How can you serve a risen Christ and you're still concerned about the way the situation go, about the way things go around you? How can you serve a risen Christ? You still scared about the problem. When James 1 2 says, when James 1 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind, you can trust in this word. This is the power of the resurrection. You can trust and the faith that you have in God, because Jesus is risen. You don't need to be worried about anything. You don't have to fear. And the reason you don't have to fear, because Jesus lives. And today, your greatest decision is, where do you stand? Do you stand on the resurrection? Or do you stand? And you can feel the blink. May God bless you.